is when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to hour number two. It is Ken Colburn, Matt Bauer, and Adam Maris, our man from Glendale.
Yes.
Was it 4 years ago you started calling into the show?
3 or 4, something like that.
So, yeah, you other stalkers can rejoice in the fact that you might actually get a spot on the show if you call enough times. Huh? No. Adam showed how special he was from the very first, from the first sentence when you told us that you basically hadn't learned a thing by listening to the show.
Thank you.
It was like, oh,
that,
no.
That, no
we,
problem.
We, yeah. We love that kind of, hey, you know, that's what it's all about. So if you get our newsletter, you would have been warned about a look-alike, a fake Windows Update email that's out there that's kind of posing as a warning, trying to convince you to download or install something. So
another one?
Yep. They went away for a while.
Yeah, they did.
The same thing that was out there before, it's just there's another one that's kind of in the wild. And all of you folks that think that you have a new German relative, you don't. Yeah. you want to explain it, Adam? You don't want to explain it. There's a new version of a long-standing worm that uses German emails and tries to send people to German hate sites. And, of course, most English-speaking folks will click on a link and they can't tell it's a hate site because they can't read.
They can't read German.
But they're like, why am I getting all these German emails? Well, that's why, folks. It has nothing to do. And understand, when these worms and Trojans get out there and start perpetrating these things, there's nothing you can do to stop it because it has nothing to do with your machine. It's someone else's machine is infected and is constantly sending these messages with the spoofed return address. And so you can't believe anything about it. Just delete them.
Right.
Delete them. What are you laughing about?
The Apple I
I see. Yes, the Apple I product. Adam was telling us about this off the air. It's very humorous. It talks about the. It's basically a spoof ad for Apple.
Yeah, it's an Apple spoof ad.
It looks perfectly like an Apple ad, and it's just.
And
hilarious.
It's about a product called iProduct.
It's called iProduct. Yeah, you'll love it. You'll drool over it. You'll go buy one, and you don't know what it is.
That's
yet.
Right.
Absolutely no clue.
Yeah, but if you hang on every announcement and every screenshot, you'll love the product.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
We're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you what it is. It just you're going to want to buy it. All right. You know what? Before we go back to the phone, shall we do our? You know what? Here we go. I need to do this.
Get a clue.
I need to find the, how about this one?
Do you have the nap one? All right.
How about this one?
I'm a 20th Century Fox now? Very nice.
I think I broke it. our vernacular of the week, our Geek Speak of the Week this week is...
That was our... It's war driving.
War driving? What's that about?
It's basically drive-by hacking. It's basically you would go around with a wireless-enabled laptop through neighborhoods, business neighborhoods, or residential neighborhoods, and look for unsecured wireless networks.
Boy, we've done that story a few hundred times, haven't we?
A few hundred times, but it never hurts one more time.
Yeah, well, but nobody's listening, so we need to keep doing the story.
Right.
Exactly.
The wireless networking equipment is made to be very easy to install because there's no security and they don't want to get the phone calls.
Exactly.
That's right.
So
that's
if
right.
you take a wireless networking router home and you're really happy and proud that you spent an hour or two and got it to work and it's all cool and I can walk around my house with my laptop, if you stopped there and didn't actually incorporate any security, then not only can you walk around on your network, so can your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And that malicious teenager down the way and
hey.
Anybody driving along in front of your house.
Yeah.
So we've got lots and lots of information on what you should be doing to secure your home networks on our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the free help section. And for that matter, for anything that you might possibly want to talk about.
That's right.
Or ask about, check that out, the free help section there. And how about our download of the week?
Our download of the week this week is MP3 Gain. You might notice some MP3s that you have downloaded legally, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Being a little too loud as compared to another one that you might have played. One's too soft, one's too loud. You can make them all equal by using this program. It's pretty simple interface, just drag and drop.
It just kind of looks at what's going on and makes sure that the
levels...
Yeah,
it kind of looks at the sound levels and kind of evens them all out. So they're all... None of them are going to be too loud, too soft. They're all going to be the same volume.
Now, just a small disclaimer on these programs. If you're an audiophile and really love dynamic sound, you're probably going to hate these programs.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do tend to take some of the dynamic range out of your song, so... but if you just have casual background music and you don't want it blaring 1 second and low the next, then it's a great. And it's what's the cost on this product?
It is absolutely free. And again, you can find it on the datadoctors.com website. Click on the radio show section, and on the right side, you'll see below the Geek Speak the download of the week.
Nice.
Very nice.
And all of the various
resources
we had today. Hey, before we go back to the phones, I understand we have a special guest online.
The sound file you're looking for is 333, by the way.
Oh, let me go ahead. Say hi to these guys while I find that.
Hey guys, how are you doing? Is it Adam there and Matt?
And
yes, we are both here.
And I guess you're letting.
And now live from the New Jersey airport, it's Brandon Disney.
We're getting ready to go into the Holland Tunnel.
The what?
Through the Holland Tunnel into Manhattan because I'm flying out of JFK today.
Ah,
very nice.
So I'm looking at what would be the backdrop for lots and lots of movies and other silly things, I think.
Are you tearing up? Is it beautiful?
It's actually a nice day. Yesterday it rained all day. Today it's sunny. It's a weird place. You
know? And now, live with the weather report from JFK. Hey, it's going to be like 149 million degrees here this weekend. So.
Yeah, I think I'm not coming back there. I'm going straight to the Caribbean somewhere. Yeah.
There you go.
If you're smart, you will.
Hey, so, what's this guy here that wants to wash our windows? Should we let him? Is that a good thing?
It depends. Which newspaper is he using to clean off the the grime?
Does he have some taste?
The quality of the papers. What's going on?
Yeah.
All right, so now I warned everybody we don't have a show next week, and then the week after you're on your own. So if Adam wants to grace us with his presence in 2 weeks, he can come back for that as well. So
I'm sure he'd be honored.
All right, so New Jersey is officially open now. Anybody that's listening to this webcast, and you happen to be on the East Coast, anywhere near Jersey.
Yeah.
You got to tell them where, though, because Jersey, even though it looks small on the map,
yeah.
It's big.
Kind of a big state.
And I now know why they call it the Garden State. I thought it was all just a big city.
Yes.
Nay.
No.
There's lots and lots of greenery, and I understand now. So
we're opened up in Freehold.
Correct the moon.
For those of you listening to the broadcast.
Forget about it. Exactly.
All right, well, drive safe, and then fly safe, and then vacation safe, and we'll see you when you get back.
Actually, I'm not flying. I'm letting the pilot do it today.
That's a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Darn good idea.
Take a break today, Rennie.
Is it a Windows-based system? Or No.
I think they've got Windows all over the plane, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Brandon Disney reporting live from a car. All right. Let's... we're so good at this, aren't we?
Somewhere.
Let's see if we can help Dan out. Dan's been holding for a while. He's got some questions on his home network. Dan, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
You bet.
And my wireless network is WPA security enabled.
WPA.
Ooh.
Yes.
Hey, right. Yeah, he used the acronym. He has to explain it.
You know what? We have a sound file for that. So go ahead and explain what WPA is.
No. I don't know. I just know it's good.
That is good, but oh darn it.
That's a good reason.
Oh, here it is. No, that doesn't quite
that was weak.
Close.
Whippa.
Brandon's going to be calling again saying it's 242.
242.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so anyway, you have a nice little wireless network set up.
Right, and so I have both my desktop computer and my laptop computer both run wirelessly, and they both connect to the Internet just fine and work beautifully. And what I'm trying to do is to network the two computers together to basically enable file sharing and printer sharing. And I'm not seeming to be able to do it. There's a wizard built into Windows XP that I kind of follow the steps on as plainly as I can follow, and when I'm done, there's nothing happening.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the big picture issue first about wireless networking when it comes to this type of file transfer. Most people get a wireless network because they're going to surf the Internet. And so the basic wireless product out there, known as 802.11b, is great for that because the 10 megabits per second that the 10 megabit speed that it professes is usually quite a bit faster than a super fast high speed internet connection like cable.
Yeah.
Might be a meg and a half.
Four, yeah.
4 or 5.
4 if you're really smoking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's all good. But if you ever want to transfer huge files between computers on a wireless network, well, now, because there's 10/100, there's the 100 megabit segments on networks that can basically throw data very quickly through these wires. The faster wireless technologies known as basically G, I don't want to get too technical here, but G, huh? Is that us?
I don't think
I'm
so.
Here.
802.11G actually is going to give you a rated 54 megabits per second.
Right, and that's what I do have. I do have the 802.11G.
So the point I want to make is if you're out there shopping for wireless routers and you're trying to figure out the difference between B and G, that would be the beeping that I'm hearing.
Yeah.
The B and the G. B is great if it's low cost and it's if all you're going to do is web surf. But if you're going to be doing file transfers, gaming, anything that where there's stuff going on between the machines in your home, definitely go for the G. Okay, so now you've got that. And you're able to surf the net, but they don't actually see each other, correct? Hello? Dan?
All right, switch phones. Maybe that'll
There we go. Oh, that's what it was. The beeping telling you your battery's going to die.
Gotcha.
He's been on hold too long with us.
Exactly.
Okay, so you have the wireless network set up so you can access the internet. However, they don't see each other as accessible computers, correct?
Exactly.
So some of the things you're going to want to make sure to just make it easier for you is make sure everybody has the same work group name.
Okay.
That just helps you identify things a little easier. The other thing is you have to create, for the best possible solution, you have to create, so if your laptop you log in as John and you have a specific password you use, that same profile needs to exist on the machines that you want to access.
Okay.
So you have to create a John on these others so that they're authorized users across the network. So unlike Windows 98 where there was no security, it's like, come on in! All are welcome! We don't care about security.
Yet it still prompts you for a username and password.
And this is a great example of how security is a big hurdle to people that want to do it. Windows 98 was real easy to network.
Yeah.
People loved it, but there was no security.
No security.
Now we have security, and they're going, oh, why can't it be like 98? Well, it's because
you want like your neighbors to be able to see all your tax records and stuff.
Especially with a wireless network. So,
oh, yeah.
Do you understand that part of it, Dan?
I do understand that.
Okay, so you have to make sure that those things are in play first, and then you have to obviously decide what it is you're going to share, offer up to other people on the network. So the easiest way to do that is if you right-click on it on your MP3 folder, for instance.
Right.
One of the options is sharing, and you say allow others to see or share this with others.
Uh-huh.
And then you can decide whether I want to allow files to be read-only or where the files can actually be changed so somebody can copy and change and update and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So there's a multiple layers that are in there that you have to do. Have you done those things yet?
Yeah, I've done that. Basically, on both computers, I took the whole My Documents folder and made that shared. And
okay, but have you done the creating the users and changing the workgroup name and all that stuff?
The workgroup name is the same. I'm not sure if the usernames are the same.
Yeah, you have to have identical, including the passwords, or else you're going to run into some problems.
Okay.
So I would start with that. If you can't physically see the other machines, you can use the search button in your network window and say, go search for this particular machine, and a lot of times it'll find it that way where when you're trying to browse, it doesn't see it.
Okay.
And once you connect and say, I want it to always connect, then every time you boot up, it should see that. Now, then comes the thing of, well, if one machine was on and the other one wasn't, and you turn it on, it doesn't see it, so therefore those resources aren't available. And so what you want to try to make sure you do is whichever machines you're going to share, make sure they're the ones that tend to stay on a lot longer or maybe on all the time, like in my house.
Okay.
They're always on.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's probably that very critical allowing people in step where you create the user profiles.
Yeah.
In each of the machines that you want to be able to get from one machine to the other on.
Okay.
So make sure John exists on all the machines with the same exact password.
Okay.
And if you don't care about anything, then just make them all administrative. That way you can do anything you want.
Right.
All right?
Okay. So secondly, if 802.11G is better than 802.11B,
yes.
Is the W, I think it's called, is that even better, the one that goes at 108 megabits a second? Or?
From a technical standpoint, yeah, there's going to be faster, stronger, neater technologies out there, and some of them are wide open standards, some of them are specific to a vendor, like Linksys has their new SFX technology that does acceleration. So if you basically you have G, if your file transfer rates are good enough,
Okay.
Don't mess with it.
Yeah, just leave it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter what they come out with. 20 minutes from now, they're going to come out with something that's purportedly better and faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's how I keep those companies in business.
Exactly.
That's right.
Usually what I tell people is whatever the rated speed is, cut it in half and consider that's the actual throughput, the actual performance you're going to get.
Okay.
So, it's not really what it's necessarily saying that it's going to do.
Alrighty.
And, of course, most people fall for bigger numbers, pay more, and it's all marketing.
The American way.
Keep it simple. If it's working, leave it alone.
All right.
All right. Good luck, man.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. That's how it works. Whatever your question is, we'll make up an answer.
That's right.
And we can do it even better now that we got Adam in here, right?
Time for a break?
It is time for a break. It's Ken Colburn, Matt Bauer, and Adam Maris from Glendale. Late for a break. Back after this.
Yep.
Former Nesquik powder users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I bought Rich Chocolate Ovaltine for my 3-year-old because of the nutrition. She loved the taste of chocolate milk, and I wanted her to have the vitamins and minerals that are added to Ovaltine. Now, I probably drank Ovaltine just about